Bear prided themselves on understated elegance. Mara would be sniffing in disdain at the lime green getup the actress at this table was wearing. It included a large plume of feathers that seemed out of place at lunch. I had no idea who she was or what she'd been in, but Bailey, the restaurant gossip queen, made sure I at least knew what industry guests were in as I served them. The woman didn't say thank you as I set down her salad, but that was par for the course. The tips weren't even that impressive, honestly. But I was elbow rubbing like my agent wanted, and I did have some auditions for small campaigns next week. And I could breathe. No matter how difficult things got, I wouldn't forget that. The restaurant doors swung open then with its usual soft chime, something I'd always thought was weird about a fancy place like this, but others considered homey and charming. But this time, when the door chimed, the atmosphere in the room seemed to ripple in response. It was as if a switch had suddenly been activated, pulling the collective attention of every soul in the establishment to its source. I couldn't help but glance over my shoulder. My eyes locked onto a man, and the world seemed to freeze in place. His presence was a force of nature, all-consuming masculinity that demanded attention. With raven black hair that fell effortlessly across his forehead and those penetrating green eyes, he exuded an air of dominance, the very embodiment of an alpha male. He was like a predator in a world of prey, and every instinct in me knew it. For a heartbeat, I forgot how to inhale. The captivating seduction of his gaze had ensnared me, leaving me helpless under his spell. Those emerald eyes bore into mine with an intensity that felt like they could strip away my every secret, leaving me vulnerable in their wake. He leaned towards the hostess and murmured something to her, and yet he didn't take his eyes off me. I didn't know him, I was sure about that. But the way he was watching me, it sure seemed like he knew me. I stared, both captivated and unnerved, as he was led to the section of the restaurant I was in charge of. Something extraordinary had just stepped into my world. I knew that. Judging by the quiet whispers that had filled the room the second he walked in, everyone else knew that as well. And I had to serve him dinner. I tried to avoid going to his table as long as I could, too nervous to face all that hotness. I had tables to do refills on, orders to bring by, silverware to be rolled. I couldn't help but steal glances at him the entire time, though. He sat there, his gaze tracking me, an amused grin tracing his full lips, like he knew exactly what I was doing and he was perfectly content to wait me out. There were people stopping by as he sat there, like everyone else in the place wanted to bask in his light, too. I swore I'd never seen him before, even if every part of my DNA was convinced he was the most beautiful man I'd ever come across. But he had to be someone big, someone famous. Why else would the other A-listers in the restaurant be saying hello? A woman I knew was in a popular TV show went up to him as I was filling a water pitcher. She said something and he threw his head back and laughed. Immediately, my insides tightened, something like jealousy slithering through me. Because I wanted that laugh to only belong to me. What the fuck was wrong with me? His laughter was warm and amused, weaving through the air like a soft breeze on a summer day. I was completely captivated by it. Finally, I couldn't delay it any longer, and I approached the table, a tray with a decanter of water trembling in my hands. He was lounging effortlessly on the bench, commanding the space around him. The closer I got, the more I began to truly see him. I'd always had a thing for guys with dark hair and green eyes. I blamed it on the crush I had as a child in the group home. I had a type, and I didn't venture far from it. Case in point, Clark. This guy was like my fantasy on crack, my naughtiest daydream come to life, the walking embodiment of allure. His dark, tousled hair was like a midnight storm, a stark contrast against his golden tan skin that seemed kissed by the sun's rays. His eyes, a mesmerizing shade of green framed by long dark lashes, held a hint of mischief and a touch of danger. Even with his clothes on, the fact that he was rocking a very well-built, if not perfect, physique couldn't be concealed. He was wearing a crisp white V-neck shirt that clung to his sculpted chest, accentuating every sinew and curve. A black cross necklace hung from his neck, drawing attention to the chiseled contours of his collarbone. His wrists were adorned with an array of bracelets, and they jingled softly as he moved. My body had an instinctive reaction to his presence, a primal response that I couldn't control. As his gaze locked onto mine, a wicked glint in his forest green eyes, my nipples hardened beneath my clothing, electric charges zooming across my skin. My core softened, aching with a need that pulsed with every beat of my heart. I could feel the undeniable wetness between my thighs, an unbidden response to the raw attraction he exuded. I was caught in a lusty spell, one that left me breathless and craving his touch. I was aching for him. Desperate.
Hi.
He murmured, and my panties were freaking soaked. His voice was a sensual caress, a velvety whisper that sent shivers dancing along my skin. I opened my mouth several times to respond, but I was worried all that would come out was a moan. Hi. I finally stuttered, inwardly wincing at how freaking lame I was. My phone buzzed against my thigh, reminding me I had a sweet, sexy boyfriend. I had a feeling that the man lounging in front of me could do far more damage to my heart than Clark ever could. Not that there was a chance in flying hell this kind of guy would ever be interested in me. I mean, what had I been saying? I realized then that the handsome stranger's amused gaze had transformed into a blazing furnace of hunger. It was as if he was undressing me with his eyes, his imagination running wild with all the ways he could claim my body right then and there. I'd read about these kind of men in countless romance novels, where they were portrayed as the elusive dream, the kind of alpha male perfection that left you yearning to throw caution to the wind and surrender to their charm. I'd always thought they didn't exist, that they were just characters on pages, figments of an author's imagination. Yet, here before me was the living embodiment of that fantasy. A stranger who you knew one night with him could be the stuff of dreams, an unforgettable encounter that would leave you breathless and forever changed. You have a boyfriend, a voice screamed in my head. I understood that. It's just I was having trouble remembering his name at the moment.
Ari. She was like a lightning strike, breaking my fucking heart with her beauty. She had me and every other guy, and girl, in the room doing double takes. I immediately wanted to gouge out all their eyes with a fork on the table in front of me. Mine, my insides, and my dick were screaming. And honestly, it was all I could do to keep that crazy fucker down. Her golden locks tumbled around her face like they had a mind of their own. And her eyes? Well, let's just say they were like two cups of coffee. One look and you were wide awake and ready for action. She was the hottest thing I'd ever seen. Every inch of her a gravitational pull I couldn't resist. Even if I tried. Not that I was trying to resist. I wasn't an idiot. My attraction to her was like a freight train, powerful and unrelenting. And my dick was so hard I was afraid my pants were going to rip. It felt like I could breathe for the first time since I'd seen that billboard and realized it was her. Like I'd been holding my breath since she'd disappeared on me as a kid. And now, I was free to exhale. I'd been driving along a Dallas road, the city skyline stretched out before me. A sprawling maze of buildings and lights that seemed to go on forever. As I approached an intersection, my gaze wandered to the billboards lining the roadside. Advertising for everything from fast food to luxury cars flashed by, each one vying for the attention of passing motorists. But then, one particular billboard seized my attention, causing me to slam on the brakes in disbelief. There she was, larger than life. An embodiment of over a decade of wishing and longing. A massive leopard was draped around her, its fierce eyes locked onto something beyond the camera's lens. It was some kind of perfume ad. I'd immediately known it was her. Layla. The girl I'd lost. The only girl I'd ever loved. A million memories came rushing back. Ones I'd long buried and tried to forget. I shook my head as I relived the moment I'd found Blake. Kidnapping her and taking her with me to some remote island didn't seem like a bad idea at the moment. Because now that I'd found her, now that I could breathe, you could fucking bet I would never let her go again. "What's your name, Sunshine?" I asked, instead of grabbing her and dragging her away. I deserved a motherfucking medal for that, by the way. She frowned, as if she hated the nickname. I'd have to workshop that. But it was hard to think of anything else when I looked at her. Like she was the sunshine finally here after so much fucking rain. Look at me, waxing poetic. I'd have to remind Lincoln how smart and artistic I was next time we talked.
"My name is Blake, and I'll be your server today,"
she said in a professional but very unsteady tone. I grinned to myself because Sunshine was definitely as affected by me as I was by her. I'd also just found my new favorite thing, listening to her talk. Her voice had obviously changed from when she was a little girl, but there was still that same unique allure that had dragged me in from the beginning, that had the boy in me recognizing I'd found magic, even back then. She bit down on her delicious bottom lip before going into the daily specials. None of which I was interested in, since she hadn't said tacos or steak. But I nodded along anyway. I could listen to her say anything, actually.
"Sir?"
she said, and I realized I'd been staring at her, awestruck. "Is there a special where I get to have lunch with you?" I quipped, because I really was that much of a fucking idiot, apparently. I watched as her features grew cold, a clear rejection that left no room for misunderstanding.
"I'm not for sale,"
she shot back, turning around in a clear dismissal. With a rueful smile, I stared as she walked away. The view from behind was just as captivating as it had been from the front. That was okay. I could do the whole redemption arc. I needed to concentrate on my plan without making her hate me on our first encounter, though. I was usually more charming than this. After seeing her on that billboard in Dallas, I'd immediately gone to good old Google, hunting down the ad campaign to make sure I hadn't gone crazy from years of wishful thinking. As soon as I'd had any resources to my name out of college, I'd searched to see where Layla had disappeared to, and I hadn't found a single hint. It was as if she'd never existed, or died. Over the years, that thought had creeped around in my head, as much as I hoped she was out there somewhere, living a far better life than the one she'd had at the group home. I found out from Google, though, that the campaign model's name was Blake Shepfield. With a little help from Lincoln's creepy PI, I then found out that Blake had been adopted and was living in New York City all these years, and that she'd had her name legally changed upon adoption, although the PI couldn't find details on what her name used to be. It explained a lot. Can't find someone who doesn't exist anymore. Even if I hadn't been able to find out all that information, I still would have known it was her. No one had eyes like that. No one but her. Her eyes. A mesmerizing shade of deep blue that seemed to fade into violet, were unlike anything I'd ever seen before. They held a depth that seemed to have no end, like the vast expanse of the night sky just before dawn. They were enigmatic pools of mystery, framed by long, dark lashes that accentuated their intensity. When she looked at me, it felt like she was peering into the depths of my soul, and my fear, even as a kid, was that she would find me lacking. I sat up straighter when I saw her returning my way, glancing frantically over the menu to see if there was anything I would eat. This place was fancy. I'd always felt more comfortable stuffing my face in a hole in the wall than in places like this. But this was where she was, so this was where I'd be.
"Have you decided what you want, or do you need more time?"
she asked coolly, obviously still not impressed at all with me after my word vomit. "I'll have the steak frites," I told her, inwardly fist-pumping at the small glint of amusement I spotted in her gaze as I butchered the word frites.
"French fries okay?"
"You have Russian ones? I've heard those are better." She snorted that time, and I knew the wide grin on my face was ridiculous, as was everything coming out of my mouth. But at least she wasn't mad at me anymore.
"I'm afraid we're all out of Russian,"
she said now, smiling prettily. "I'll survive," I mused, finding myself leaning forward because she was so fucking intoxicating. "Could I have a refill of water, though? I'm parched." I hated the idea of her waiting on me, but I'd have to make it up to her later. I had work to do.
"Oh, of course,"
she exclaimed, her eyes going wide, like she was alarmed she'd get in trouble. She dashed away and grabbed a water pitcher before hurrying back. It was hard to keep myself in my seat. I wanted to leap forward, throw her over my shoulder, and get her out of here. But the plan wouldn't allow it. I'd pushed my glass further away and intentionally didn't pick it up to make it easier for her to refill it. That made it so she had to lean over the table to pour my water, so I could more easily slip the phone from her pocket I'd seen her looking at a few minutes ago. Years of pickpocketing as a kid on the streets made it easy. She didn't even notice.
"I'll go put in your order,"
Blake murmured, a faint blush to her cheeks, hopefully at how close she'd been to me. I watched her wistfully as she walked away, and then stared at the phone in my lap. This was actually a much simpler version of the plan I'd come up with. I'd figured I'd have to hire someone to hack into her phone and change things, but Little Miss Sunshine didn't have a password on her phone. I'd have to talk to her about cybersecurity at another date. I scrolled to her contacts, inwardly raging when I saw how many times Clark, the boyfriend I'd found out about from the PI, had called and texted today. I blocked his number and then made a new contact with my number that I labeled Clark. A second later, I was downloading the tracking app the PI had told me about onto her phone. It would also allow me to see any messages she sent or received, as well as her app activity. I blocked Clark in her social media apps for good measure. There. Perfect. I knew today was going to be a good day. What I'd just done, what I would do to get her, weren't things I'd seen on my dream board. But hey, you worked with what you had. Scanning the restaurant, I saw that she was busy with other tables. That gave me some time to do recon on the texts she'd been getting. My girl was mostly a loner besides a roommate and a few model friends she went out with occasionally. Her file had included observations from her modeling agency, which noted she was uncomfortable in the social scene. The friends she did have were assholes. It was easy to tell, even in texts. That wasn't going to work. It was Clark that made me the angriest, though. Homeboy was telling her he loved her on the daily. Deep breaths, Ari. He'll be gone soon. Movement out of the corner of my eye caught my attention, and I realized she was almost to the table with my food. I quickly dropped the phone into my lap and shot her what I hoped was a winning smile.
"Here you go,"
she said brightly, but it was in that bland way that people used with strangers. I couldn't wait to not be a stranger to her anymore. I wanted to be her best friend. Her everything. It was the only ending I could accept. "How long have you worked here?" I asked as she turned to walk away. I already knew the answer, but I was desperate for her to talk to me.
"Only a few weeks. I just moved here."
She blushed again, and I wasn't sure why.
"It's a filler job."
"Trying to get into modeling?" I pretended to guess. Her blush deepened.
"I'm a walking cliche, I know."
"Normally that would be the case. But with a face like yours, Sunshine, I have no doubt you'll be one of those supermodels soon enough." Her face darkened for a moment, and I wondered, did she even want that?
"Yeah, that would be incredible,"
she finally murmured, but she didn't sound enthused. "Well, you know what? I just moved here too. That means we should be BFFs. This time a real smile popped across her face, and she snorted. I gave myself another inward fist bump, because I believed in celebrating victories.
"BFFs, huh?"
"Yes," I said seriously, nodding my head for emphasis. "I'm a really good BFF. Everyone says so."
"Oh, so you're BFFs with everyone then?"
My eyes widened. "Well, no," I stuttered. "I actually only have one BFF right now, but he assures me I'm the best. But I really think I'm up for the task, is what I'm saying." What on the yahoo was coming out of my fucking mouth right now? I was an embarrassment to all humankind.
"I can't believe we've said BFF this many times in a row."
She giggled before suddenly stiffening up. I glanced over to where she was staring and saw a stern-faced woman who looked like she ate puppies heading our way.
I have to get back to work,
Blake said hurriedly before hustling to another one of her tables. Well, now I was not happy. I had a million more things I wanted to talk to Blake about.
Mr. Lancaster, I apologize for Miss Shupfield's behavior. She will be dealt with,
crooned the uppity woman who I assumed was the manager of the establishment. Nothing to deal with, ma'am, I drawled. Best service I've ever had, actually. You would be a fool to let that one go. I watched as her face flushed with embarrassment as I emphasized fool. I stood up and threw some cash down on the table, way more than that fancy meal had cost, so my girl would obviously get a great tip, too. Thanks for dinner, I muttered, even though I hadn't actually eaten it. I stalked towards the front of the restaurant, giving Blake one last lingering look as I did so. She was staring at me, too, while she poured some asshole's water who seemed to be mesmerized by the front of her shirt. It was all I could do to keep dragging myself away. I think my waitress dropped her phone, I told the hostess, handing her the phone I'd stolen and ignoring her please fuck me now look as I did it. Maximus 5000, a.k.a. Little Ari, wasn't interested in anyone else now that she'd been found. As soon as I got out of the restaurant and was walking down the sidewalk to my car, I texted Lincoln. Me, I just want you to know that your BFF is artistic and smart. Lincoln, oh really? Me, I also have a lot of self-control. Lincoln, okay, who is this? Who took Ari Lancaster's phone? Me, no, I'm serious. Blake was right in front of me, and I totally controlled all my impulses. And I was waxing poetic about her. So, see? Artistic and smart. Lincoln, I'm afraid to ask this question, but exactly what impulses were you controlling? Me, absconding her to a deserted island, of course. Lincoln, this is how I know you're not as smart as you think you are, bud. Me, scoff. What? Lincoln, if given the chance to abscond the girl, the answer is always yes. Me, dot, dot, dot. Lincoln, dot, dot, dot. Me, I will keep that in mind. As I got into my car, I imagined doing just that. I would definitely be keeping that in mind.
Chapter 4. Blake. 3 never-ending days had crawled by since the gorgeous stranger at the restaurant had set my world on fire. Meanwhile, Clark had turned into a human emoji, answering my texts with nothing but yes and no. His frantic texting from the weeks before completely gone. I didn't even know what the stranger's name was. It would have been easy to find out, but I was trying to stay as far away from temptation as possible. Getting his name would have made it hard to do that. I knew that because even without his name, his smoldering gaze and electrifying presence refused to leave my thoughts. My day had been a relentless grind, made even worse by a call from my agent saying I didn't get yet another job I'd been after. And then a scathing text from Mara wanting to know when I was going to stop being a pathetic nothing and come home. I couldn't help but think the universe was coming after me, punishing me for getting all hot and bothered over a guy besides my sweet boyfriend. I was teetering on the edge when I finally trudged home after my grueling shift at the restaurant where I had my ass grabbed no less than 3 times. Upscale didn't mean better behavior. But I'd known that already from living with the Shepfields. I stopped outside my apartment door, sighing as I listened to the booming music coming from within. My roommate Charlotte was evidently home, and my energy level was nowhere where it needed to be to handle her. Stepping into our apartment was like entering a whirlwind. Charlotte was dancing to T-Swift's Karma, while Waldo barked and jumped around her frantically. I stopped in the doorway and took in what I was seeing. Charlotte was a fireball, her personality perfectly matching her long, fiery auburn hair and hazel eyes, the exact opposite of my shy, unsure one. She was another model with my agency, someone I hadn't known before the move. So far, I'd been pleasantly surprised by her, though, if overwhelmed. She was the kind of person who could light up a room with her infectious energy, while I seemed to drain the energy out of them. Maybe we were perfect for each other. As soon as she saw me, she let out a shrill scream and ran towards me, waving a pair of tickets like she won the lottery. I reached down to hug Waldo, a good way to prevent her from jumping on me, as well as giving my perfect doggy some love.
Blake, you won't believe it!
She bounced on her toes.
I got tickets to the Cobra's opening night, and check this out!
She reached for something on the coffee table and soon brandished jerseys with Lancaster on the back, a mischievous grin dancing on her lips. I usually excelled in turning down invitations. Nights out never ended how I wanted. I opened my mouth to deliver my usual blurb about exhaustion and a headache, but Charlotte was having none of it tonight.
Blake, you're always working, and you hardly ever go out with me. We need to roommate bond, and I just got that new job with Burberry today. We need to celebrate. Please, please, please.
Something clenched in my insides, because the Burberry job was the one I found out I didn't get. But that feeling just meant that I probably needed to go, because I didn't want to be the girl who was ever bitter about her friend's success. Before I could say anything, though, Charlotte crossed her arms and gave me a look that screamed determination.
Blake, you can't keep hiding from the world. We're going, and that's final. I will drag you out of this apartment.
Okay, so this girl was a bit of a badass, and that had a reluctant smile gracing my lips. All right, I'll go. I began to say, before crashing to the floor as she tackled me. My ears would never recover from her squeals. Waldo smothered both of us in wet, sloppy kisses as I struggled to get out from under her. Way too much touching going on here. She finally bounced off me and did a little shimmy right in time to style starting.
It's going to be epic! Everyone's been trying to get tickets to this game now that Lancaster's on the team. Seeing him and Davis next to each other? I might faint.
She grabbed her crotch and did a weird hip thrust like the players in question were in the room with us now, and she was trying to direct their dicks to the sweet spot.
Okay, we've got to leave in like 10 minutes.
Charlotte said guiltily, and I realized for the first time she was perfectly done up, while I'd just gotten done sweating for hours, and I smelled like food. A lethal combination. I was tempted to change my mind and back out, but she slapped a hand over my lips and started pushing me towards the hallway that led to my bedroom.
10 minutes, Blake! Don't make me drag your cute butt out of here, young lady!
I giggled, a miracle considering the shitty day I'd had, and she froze in the hallway.
Did you just laugh?
She asked, sounding shocked. My giggle transformed into a scowl, and I marched into the bathroom and practically slammed the door behind me, her laughter ringing in my ears. 15 minutes later, I'd managed to make myself somewhat presentable, and we were loaded into an Uber and headed through LA traffic to the Cobras Arena. So, what's the story with Lancaster? I asked Charlotte, figuring I should know something about the team. I was a football fan myself, but I could pretend to like hockey for the night. She grinned mischievously and made a weird moaning sound that had the driver shifting in his seat uncomfortably.
It's actually a crazy story. He's been a star defenseman for the Dallas Knights since he was drafted, and he freaking won the cup with them last year. Then, out of the blue, the guy asks for a trade to LA.
I hummed in confusion. That's strange. Why would he do that after a championship win? Charlotte shrugged.
No one really knows. It's a mystery. But trust me, Blake, he's the best defenseman in the league, and everyone's buzzing about his arrival. It's like a dream come true for LA fans.
I gave her what I hoped was an excited grin before staring out at the passing city lights, her continued chatter a comforting background to the drive.
Ari, tonight was the night, the first game of the NHL season with the motherfucking Cobras. And I was nervous, which never happened. I was Mr. Cool, Mr. Collected. I left it to Lincoln to be nervous. Okay, that was a stretch. Lincoln didn't get nervous either. But my late summer trade had disrupted my rhythm, leaving me with fewer practices with my new teammates than would have been ideal. Would have been nice to see Blake's billboard like the week after the Stanley Cup win. You know? I was stepping onto the ice with a group of guys I barely knew, one of which I hated, and the weight of expectations hung heavy on my shoulders. If I wanted any chance of making my way back to Dallas next year, I needed to have a stellar season. A perfect season, in fact. Be so good that Dallas had to forgive me and take me back. I stared at myself in the mirror, trying to come to grips with the fact I was dressed in an oh-so-vibrant purple and yellow uniform. There was a big fucking snake on my chest. It was like trading a steak for some cold oatmeal. Everything about it felt wrong. Blue and white was a much better color combo, in my opinion. The knight emblem was a badge of honor, stitched into the very fabric of who I was as a player. Now, here I was, part of the Cobra's crew, and it was like swapping my noble steed for a slithering snake. And I'd always hated snakes. For a fleeting moment, despondency slipped over my skin. It felt like I was standing on the edge of a precipice, uncertain of what lay ahead. Doubts crept in, like insidious whispers in the back of my mind, questioning whether this would all work out. What if I couldn't get her back? What if I suddenly sucked at hockey? I chuckled to myself at that one, shaking off the weird feeling. Yeah, none of that was going to happen. I couldn't afford to indulge in self-doubt. Not now. With a determined sigh, I reached for my phone and tapped out a text to my bestie. I could use some of his sage wisdom right about now. Me. I hate purple and gold. Lincoln. It's true. It washes you out. Me. Fuck you. Take that back. I look amazing in purple and gold. Everyone thinks so. Lincoln. ... Me. Okay, well, I don't know if everyone thinks so. Let's crowdsource this. Lincoln. ... I added Monroe to the chat and sent a selfie. Me. Monroe, what do you think of me in purple and gold? Lincoln. Monroe, don't talk to him. Don't answer that question. Monroe.
I really like purple and gold.
Lincoln. But not more than me in blue and white, right? Right? Me. The people have spoken. I look good in purple and gold. Lincoln. She's not your people. She's my people. Monroe, tell him you're not his people. Lincoln. Wait, don't tell him anything. Monroe. Me. GIF of athlete doing victory lap. Lincoln. Middle finger emoji. Me. I still hate purple and gold. Lincoln. I know. 1 year, buddy. Me. 1 year. Lincoln. Knock 'em dead tonight. You've got this. I sent a giant heart after that text because what else did you do to tell someone you loved them bunches? A throat cleared and I glanced up from my phone, realizing I'd been staring at it with a manic grin. Walker was standing there, leaning against the doorway like the Disney prince he was. Ready for the game? He asked in that typical casual Walker way. Yep. Go Cobras, I tried to say exuberantly. Came out a little flat, though, if I was being honest. Walker suddenly shifted awkwardly, like a puppy unsure of its footing. I raised an eyebrow, waiting for whatever he was going to say. Well... he began, fumbling for words. I know you must be feeling weird, so... is there anything that you and Lincoln used to do before the game that you'd want me to do? Oh, this was good. I practically jumped up with excitement. Yes, I exclaimed, unable to contain my enthusiasm. Okay, what is it? Walker asked with determination. Lincoln and I didn't really have a pregame ritual. We were basically just badasses whose badassery was a ritual in and of itself, but this was a good distraction. Well, it's a little weird, I warned, but Walker just nodded intently. Link and I, we shake it off, I said, deserving an Oscar because my voice was so steady. Walker blinked. You shake it off? He repeated, his voice tinged with disbelief. I grinned. Trust me, it works wonders. But hey, it was a Link and me thing. Doesn't have to be a Walker and me thing, you know? No, he said quickly, holding up his hands. I can shake it off. Let's do it. Let's get you ready for the game. Where was the motherfucking camera when I needed it? No offense to anyone's mothers, by the way. It had been ages since I'd done something like that. And mothers were forever safe from me now that I'd gotten Blake back. I guess until she became a mother. Fuck. Don't get hard now, Ari. I grabbed my phone and pulled up my Shake It Off playlist, cranking the volume to the max. Taylor Swift's infectious beat filled the room, and I launched into an exaggerated shimmy that would make every Swiftie proud. Walker hesitated for a moment, then got into it. His awkward moves slowly morphed into a goofy dance, and soon enough we were both grooving like nobody was watching. I kept my ear out for the sound of anyone coming, and when I heard footsteps, I conveniently stopped and leaned against the wall like the cool stud I was. The door swung open and some of our teammates entered, stopping dead in their tracks at the spectacle of Walker doing the robot to Tay-Tay. Their jaws dropped. I burst into laughter at their stunned expressions, and Walker came to a screeching halt, his cheeks reddening as he stared at his teammates. Nice moves, Walker, I drawled, doing a slow clap. What? He? Walker stammered before shooting me an exasperated glare. I feel much better, I told him seriously as other players filed into the room, word spreading of Walker's moves. Before Walker could respond, Coach strode in, his presence commanding immediate attention. Everyone quickly sobered up. Gentlemen, he began, his eyes scanning the room. Tonight is the first game of the season, the beginning of a new journey. We've worked tirelessly to get here, and now it's time to show the world what we're made of. He paused, letting the gravity of the moment sink in. Remember, we're not just a team. We're a family. On this ice, we fight together. We bleed together. And we win together. The Cobras have a legacy, and it's our job to uphold it. The fans out there, they're counting on us to give them a season they'll never forget. The coach's voice grew more intense, a fire of determination burning in his eyes. I don't need to remind you that every shift counts, every pass, every shot on goal. But I will remind you that you've got the talent, the skills, and the heart to be champions. Believe in yourselves and believe in each other. Trust your instincts and leave everything out there on that ice. He paused once more, the room filled with a charged energy. Tonight we're not only playing for ourselves. We're playing for this city, for the Cobras faithful. So go out there and give them a show they'll never forget. Let's bring home that victory, boys. It was a great speech. And as we all roared, chanting Cobras at the top of our lungs, for a second, I could almost feel that first game excitement. Just like I always had with the Knights. But then I noticed Soto in the corner, his sneer all too evident. And there went all the happy feelings. Focus on the fact you might get to see Blake tonight, I told myself as we headed down the hallway that led to the ice. And wouldn't you know it, but that was finally enough to make me feel all right. Chapter 5. Ari. The crisp chill of the ice seeped through my gear, waking me up better than a double shot of espresso. The arena erupted into a chorus of enthusiastic furor at our entrance, and the energy hit me like a tidal wave, a deafening roar of cheers and applause that could rival a rock concert. It was the kind of thunderous applause that made your eardrums question their life choices. Underneath my skates, the ice was as smooth as a freshly waxed dance floor. Each glide was like a sweet serenade from the rink itself, reminding me that I was the lead in this little ice ballet, and I had a standing ovation to earn. I scanned the seats where Blake was supposed to be, but she was fashionably late, leaving a conspicuous gap in the crowd. Or maybe she wasn't going to come. No, I'd been assured by my contact at Blake's agency that her roommate would be as persuasive as she needed to be if the tickets came with the condition that she had to bring Blake. Tonight was the place to be, after all. There were celebs everywhere, according to the team PR goons. The roommate would not want to miss out. I shook my head and brought my mind back to warm-ups. I had a soulmate to impress and a game to win, and I intended to do it with flair. The game was about to kick off, and the announcer's voice echoed through the arena, introducing each member of the Cobras. It was yet another strange moment hearing my name connected to this new team instead of the Knights. Walker, always the motivator, slapped me on the ass and threw out a, "Slay, baby!" I blinked at him in disbelief. "Did you just tell me to slay?" I asked, my eyebrow arched. He grinned. Seemed like something Lincoln would say. You know, get the vibe going. I couldn't help but shake my head, my expression deadpan. Lincoln is much cooler than that, Walker. He would be shook if he was with us right now. Oh, Walker said glumly, his features falling like I'd spit in his ice cream. I patted Walker's rear and I gave him a nice nod of appreciation. Thanks, though, buddy, I said before gliding around the ice. The game was about to begin, and it was time to show them what this Cobra was made of. I let the electric energy of the arena wash over me. Dallas fans were better in every way, of course, but in a pinch, an LA crowd would do. This was what I lived for, after all. The adrenaline, the spotlight, the game. I couldn't help but flash a cocky grin as I lifted my stick in acknowledgement of the fans. They loved a showman, and I was more than willing to oblige. I gave a little bow because I was fancy like that, and the crowd went wild. Hockey for me wasn't just about playing the game. It was about putting on a performance. The crowd was here for entertainment, after all, and I aimed to give them a show they'd never forget. I may have been showing off for the crowd, but there was really only one thing on my mind at that moment: the fact that Blake was here. There she was, in my jersey, looking like my wildest wet dream. The fabric clung to her like a glove, accentuating all the right curves. Her gold hair framed her face and those eyes. Fuck. Those eyes were blowing my mind, like they always had. She would have looked better in silver and blue, but the view right then was pretty close to damn perfection. She was outshining every star in this arena. Blake was also staring at me in total shock, her eyes wide and surprised. And dare I say, excited? At least she remembered me. I would have been quite disappointed if in 3 days' time I'd been forgotten. I tried to be more memorable than that at our little lunch date. Not that it had been 3 days since I'd seen her. You can bet your bottom lip I was catching as many glimpses of her that I could. I'd been past the restaurant twice today just to get my fix. Now I understood why Lincoln was such a fan of that little app. My BFF was brilliant. I'd have to remember to tell him that next time, too. As Blake and I stared at each other, the roar of the crowd seemed to dim. It was as if time slowed, and in that suspended moment, it was only the two of us, lost in a sea of people. I winked at her and blew a kiss, snorting at how freaking red she got. She was adorable. Her roommate started bouncing around like a pinball, spitting questions at her. "Get your head in the game, Ari!" Coach Kim's voice snapped me out of my Blake-induced reverie, his tone no nonsense. I nodded, trying to focus. The game was about to begin. As a defenseman, the best in the league, might I add, my role was critical. I always had to be ready to intercept passes, break up plays, and deliver bone-rattling checks when needed. My job was to protect Mr. Prince Charming on the blue line. It was helpful that Walker was a shot-blocking machine, but based on last year's team, he needed me. Bad. The puck dropped and the game exploded into motion. The Boston Reds charged forward, and I readied myself for the onslaught that was about to begin. "Let's do this, boys!" I shouted as Tommy skated past. He winked at me, skating faster, and I decided I liked him. At least for now. Determined to impress Blake and everyone else, I intercepted passes with surgical precision, disrupting Boston's plans at every turn. The crowd roared with each successful play, their energy spiking higher with each passing second. A few minutes into the game, we found ourselves on a power play. Our first goal came from a blistering slap shot from the right circle, a rocket that left the opposing goalie helpless. I whooped and tackled Tommy, along with the rest of the team. Getting that first goal of the season was clutch. Play continued, and a few minutes later, Boston suddenly had a deftly executed breakaway, blowing past Soto as I was checked hard into the glass. Walker made a jaw-dropping save. "That's my fucking goalie!" I yelled as he sent the puck across the ice. He smirked at me cockily. Maybe Walker was a little bit of a badass. I could consider letting him into Lincoln's and my badass club. Maybe. While most of the team was meeting my expectations, Soto was blowing right past even the shit of what I expected from him. He was fucking sucking. A huge liability, seemingly more interested in causing bedlam than playing the game. At one point, in a bizarre twist, he smashed me against the boards. A move that had me snarling in both frustration and disbelief. "Your mama hits harder than that, Soto," I quipped, my voice dripping with sarcasm. He just smirked at me like the giant douchebag he was, and the game continued on. During breaks, my gaze wandered over to Blake. She was tracking my every movement, it seemed, blushing prettily every time I skated past. "Having fun?" I mouthed at one point, smiling as she ducked her head and nodded shyly. Fuck, she was killing me with her perfection. As the game reached its climax, we found ourselves in a tight spot. The score was tied, and time was running out. Tommy seized the moment once again. With a burst of speed, he danced around defenders and unleashed a wrist shot that found the top corner of the net. Tommy pumped a fist in the air as he skated across the ice. I checked the clock. 2 more minutes, and the win was ours. Boston wouldn't go down without a fight, though. With 30 seconds left to go, their coach signaled for their goalie to head to the bench and sent out an extra skater in a last-ditch effort to secure a win. As a defenseman, I usually focused on protecting our own net rather than scoring, but sometimes the stars aligned just right. Case in point. With 20 seconds left, the puck found its way to me at the blue line. With the net empty and the arena buzzing with anticipation, I decided to have some fun. I wound up for a slap shot, and the puck sailed toward the vacant net, hitting the back of it with a resounding thud. The red light illuminated, and the arena erupted into a deafening roar. The crowd was fucking wild. I did a little shimmy, just for Walker, and then I skated toward the glass in front of Blake's seat, blowing her a big kiss. I was tackled to the ground before I could see her reaction, the buzzer sounding as the game ended. My teammates were pounding me on the back, the crowd's applause continuing to echo around us. And I thought to myself, maybe the season wouldn't be so bad after all.
Blake. Charlotte's voice was a constant stream of excitement echoing off the dimly lit corridor that led to the locker rooms. Her fiery auburn hair bounced with each step, her hazel eyes glittering with glee. She couldn't stop talking about the game, about the celebs we'd seen, about what Ari Lancaster had done.
"I still can't believe you're trying to claim you don't know him," she hissed, sounding a bit surly.
I shifted uncomfortably, attempting to downplay the situation. "Charlotte, you're making a big deal out of nothing. I served his table at Franco's. That's it. We barely talked." I sounded nonchalant, but inside, I was a different story. I was replaying the moment when his eyes locked onto mine, the wink he'd given, the blown kiss, and obsessing freaking out over the fact that his name was Ari. My first crush was a boy named Ari. But there was no way this was the same guy. Kids from a group home didn't end up becoming star hockey players. He'd been 12 when we met, and that Ari didn't play hockey. It was a miracle that I'd been adopted at 10. Ari being adopted after I left would have even been rarer. Not because he wasn't incredible, but because people didn't usually want older kids. Not unless they had a motive. And there weren't any kids at that place playing sports. It was just a weird coincidence. I'm sure there were a million Blakes out there with similar features. An arena employee clad in a sharp suit met us at the end of the hallway and interrupted my inner freakout. His smile was almost as blinding as the arena lights had been as he guided us towards the locker room.
Two lucky ladies being invited into the locker room on opening night.
He smirked. The way he said it made me feel dirty, like we were groupies expected to service the athletes once we got in there. Where did you say you got these tickets? I murmured to Charlotte, realizing I never asked. For all I knew, it was a player who had those kinds of expectations that had given her them in the first place. Charlotte either didn't hear me or didn't want to answer because she didn't acknowledge my question as the door leading to the locker room was opened. I should just leave. Yep, that's what I needed to do. What was I thinking? I should go home, cuddle with Waldo, and call Clark. Figure out why he'd gone quiet. That's what a good girlfriend would do. Someone who owed Clark as much as I did. But my feet didn't seem to be in agreement with my head because I followed Charlotte through the door, my heart threatening to burst out of my chest. The sound of laughter spilled from behind a door at the end of the hallway in front of us. We started forward, but Charlotte stopped halfway down and turned toward me.
Blake, don't fuck this up for me,
she said seriously. My eyes widened, hurt flooding through me at the unfriendly tone of her words. Of course. I finally monotoned back after I got over the sudden switch in my roommate's personality. The door at the end of the hallway swung open before she could say anything else, and we were instantly enveloped in a whirlwind of sensations. The air was thick with the potent blend of cologne, sweat, and adrenaline, a heady cocktail that made my head swim and my nerves ramp up even more. I'd grown up around rich people, world leaders, socialites, but hot-as-fuck professional athletes had not been in the Sheffield crowd. This was a first for me. As I ventured deeper into the locker room, a warm blush hit my cheeks. The players weren't covering up on our behalf. My modeling jobs had gotten me used to naked bodies, but none of the male models were as hot as these guys. Their gazes tracked us as we walked through the room. It felt like a spotlight was trained on us, and most of them had a gleam in their eyes like they wanted to eat us alive.
Well, well, what do we have here?
One of the players purred, a douchebag-looking redhead that I remembered had tackled, oops, wrong sport, checked Ari at one point. As unfamiliar as I was with hockey, I was pretty sure you weren't supposed to hit your own teammate. Accident or not, he wasn't my favorite. Charlotte shot him a flirty grin as he leaned against the lockers and took her in. His gaze flicked to me.
2-for-1 special? Must be my lucky day,
he said.
In your dreams, Soto.
A deep, growly voice said from behind me. Ari Lancaster. I was shaking slightly as I turned, almost unbidden, like I couldn't resist his gravitational force, and I was having trouble breathing all of a sudden. Of course, my mind had gone to what he would look like under clothes, but it certainly hadn't prepared me for this. His emerald eyes met mine with an intensity that stole my breath. Time stood still as our gazes held with a charged connection. He was only wearing a towel, and it was sitting obscenely low on his lean hips. His skin was a sun-kissed bronze color that had me salivating. A sinful masterpiece, chiseled by the gods of desire themselves. Every inch of him exuded raw, unadulterated sex appeal, a living testament to masculine perfection. His broad shoulders sloped down to a taut, sculpted chest that begged for exploration, each defined muscle an invitation to temptation. His abdomen was a landscape of sinewy ridges and valleys, leading the way to a set of washboard abs that had me wanting to weep. That sexy V, the one responsible for wet panties everywhere, dragged my eyes directly to his towel. That was slowly rising in front of a huge tent that had my eyes wide and a squeak passing from my lips. I quickly yanked my gaze up to Ari's insanely handsome face, an unrepentant smirk on his lips. He lifted an eyebrow, daring me to say something, his damp ebony locks falling over his forehead, the wet tendrils framing his striking face like a sensual curtain. Glistening droplets of water clung to his bronzed skin, tracing a path down the landscape of his chest. Ari Lancaster was the embodiment of desire. His gaze was roaming my body hungrily, so I gave myself a few more seconds to take him in. Tattoos adorned his golden skin everywhere, intricate designs, some inky black and others vibrant with color, painted a vivid story that I could spend hours exploring. In the center of Ari's sculpted chest lay a tattoo of a large broken birdcage. The intricate details of the cage were etched with precision, its bars twisted and shattered as if they could no longer contain the wild spirit within. Inside the fractured cage, a magnificent bird soared, its wings stretched wide as if it had just tasted the sweet nectar of freedom. The bird's feathers were exquisite, each one a testament to the beauty that lay beyond the confines of captivity. My body reacted with a rush of warmth, a primal response to this magnificent specimen before me. Every cell in my body recognized his perfection on a visceral level. My core clenched with needy emptiness. My breasts felt tight and aching. My breath was unsteady. An arm slid into mine as Charlotte pressed against me. I actually jumped from the interruption of my lust fest.
"Introduce me, Rumi."
She purred as she eyed Ari's body and huge erection like he was her last meal. The room suddenly came alive again, the noises of the other players filling the air as the spell I'd been under was broken. We were, in fact, not alone, and I'd probably just embarrassed the hell out of myself by eye-fucking their star as if I was in a trance.
"Blake!"
Charlotte hissed, shooting me a harsh side-eye. Something nasty slid around inside of me. I realized I was jealous. It wasn't a sensation I was used to. Actually, I couldn't remember having this particular feeling once with Clark. Right. Boyfriend, Clark. Fuck, I was a terrible person. It didn't change the fact that it was making me sick to my stomach to think of her seeing the same delicious sight I was seeing. What if he thought she was hot? I mean, she was hot. Charlotte always had a guy a snap of her fingers away. "Hi," I found myself saying, also realizing that Ari and I hadn't said anything to each other yet.
"Hi, sunshine,"
he drawled.
"Sunshine?"
Charlotte's gaze bounced between the two of us.
"Sorry, have you actually met my roommate?"
she said sarcastically. The smirk on Ari's face slipped away, and his gaze hardened as he seemed to size up Charlotte for the first time. He yawned, and his gaze came back to me, a clear dismissal that I was positive Charlotte wasn't used to.
"It's nice to meet you,"
Charlotte said in a sickeningly sweet, desperate-sounding voice that was also unlike her usual tone.
"Why are you bothering with Lancaster, sweetness?"
The skeezy redhead, Soto, I think Ari had called him, sidled up to Charlotte and slid his arm around her waist. She reluctantly turned away from Ari and flashed Soto a fake, flirty grin. Soto didn't seem to mind, though, because his hand slid further down and he squeezed her ass as she placed her palms on his chest.